Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the IRS scandal allegations are heating up again with some contentious congressional hearings over the past several days. Is this really a scandal, or is it a Republican political confection to weaken President Obama? Here with me now is the Takeaways Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Brian. Good to be with you.
One reason this is back, as you know, is because last week Paul Ryan questioned the IRS commissioner at a hearing. The Republican congressman from Wisconsin and former vice presidential candidate confronted the commissioner directly in very blatant terms. Let's listen to about a minute of that.
This is unbelievable.
We answered
you told us on May that you were going to give us all of Lois Lerner's emails, and you learned in February that this crashed.
I did not learn in February it was a crash, and told you on Monday.
I'm not asking you a question. I'm just making
a
statement.
My apologies.
You are the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach into the lives of hardworking taxpayers, and with a phone call, an email, or a letter, you can turn their lives upside down. You ask taxpayers to hang on to 7 years of their personal tax information in case they're ever audited, and you can't keep 6 months' worth of employee emails? And now that we are seeing this investigation, you don't have the emails. Hard drives crashed. You learned about this months ago. You just told us, and we had to ask you on Monday. This is not being forthcoming. This is being misleading again. This is a pattern of abuse, a pattern of behavior that is not giving us any confidence that this agency is being impartial. I don't believe you. This is incredible.
Paul Ryan with the head of the IRS, Todd Zwillick. Can you unpack this? First, the thing that got repeated over and over again in most of the other media was the very end of that clip where he said, I don't believe you. What did Paul Ryan not believe?
Paul Ryan doesn't believe that a trove of missing emails from Lois Lerner, and you might remember who Lois Lerner is. She was head of an IRS division that had come under fire for allegedly targeting conservative groups when evaluating their applications for tax-exempt status. Paul Ryan doesn't believe that a bunch of Lois Lerner emails that have been subpoenaed by Congress could have magically, they say, gone missing on a crashed hard drive. That's an explanation that sounds fishy to Republicans at best. And you also heard in Paul Ryan's voice there, I think one of the things, apart from the actual allegations, and there are a lot of questions that do have to be answered here, Brian, that's helping to drive this, which is this entire scandal, the first part, which is the alleged targeting of conservative groups, which has its own cloud around it, and now the missing emails, is at an agency, the IRS, that's already, you know, less popular than athlete's foot. So a lot of the public is already primed to dislike the IRS. Nobody likes to pay taxes. Everybody hates stories of audits and inefficiency and the tax man. And now that this continuing scandal is playing out in the media at an agency that's probably one of the most hated in the government to begin with, doesn't help the IRS's case one bit. And it helps to drive this.
So listeners, if you have questions about the IRS scandal or the alleged IRS scandal, depending on your point of view and your conclusions, you can call up for the Takeaways Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Or if you have opinions or takes on it, fair game, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let's stay on this Lois Lerner computer crash for a minute. Is it possible that the computer actually crashed? Is it more likely that there is a cover-up going on of something that they don't want to come to light because it's so damaging?
Well, I can't answer that question from a technical perspective because just not my lane, as they say in Washington. But those very questions have been asked in hearings about whether this is technically feasible or just sort of a political cover-up. And you have to sort of look at a lot of the testimony that has taken place in some of the reporting around this. In fact, there are emails that have been recovered dating back to the summer of 2011. Now, this is 2 years before the Lois Lerner scandal broke. So we're going back in time before any of this was in the news, before any conservative groups got their complaints into the media that they thought their applications for tax-exempt status under IRS regulations were being slowed down by the Obama administration. That was the original source of all this, remember? Tea Party groups, conservative groups saying, we want tax-exempt status. When they're evaluated, it's just going too slow. And we found out that the IRS was, in fact, searching for groups based on political search terms. That's the source of all this, just to sort of set the table for you. Now, there are a lot of emails going back to the summer of 2011, before any of this ever came out, Brian, from Lois Lerner to the tech guys at the IRS saying, hey, I need your help. My computer's crashed. Back and forth, lots of back and forth saying, we're working on your hard drive. She says there's emails in there that I need. Now, she wasn't referring to any specific emails that were part of an investigation. There really wasn't an investigation to speak of at that time, although some members of Congress had sent letters of inquiry before this, and we need to talk about that one little detail too. But there's plenty of email traffic from her saying, I have a hard drive crash. I can't get to my emails. Can you guys help me? And then that sort of familiar back and forth between you and one of the tech gurus where you work about, we're working on it. We sent the hard drive over here. I've got this guy working on it. Ultimately culminating in an email from the tech guys back to Lois Lerner saying, sorry, dead. We can't get the contents of your hard drive out of there.
So what?
It's crashed.
So what is not for Paul Ryan to believe if there's all that evidence? It would have to be such a cover-up with all these plaintive emails from Lois Lerner to the IT people saying, please save my hard drive, please save my emails. After what you just described, how can anybody still allege a cover-up?
Couple of reasons. One, Paul Ryan, when he said didn't believe you, was actually referring to a different part of the timeline here than I just talked about.
Okay.
Although it's true that Republicans don't really believe a lot of this. Here's the one part that's got them up in arms about those early emails from Lois Lerner. June 11th, 2011, I think is the date, is the first email from Lois Lerner saying, I've got hard drive problems and all that stuff to the tech guys. A week before, however, June 3rd, Dave Camp, who's the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the House, he's from Michigan, he's a Republican, and that committee has jurisdiction over the IRS, had sent letters on that date to Lois Lerner asking for answers on correspondence and emails about her office. Now, not specifically on the IRS delay issue, but it started asking for emails around some questions he had about Lerner's operation and her division. So it's a week later that she's complaining her hard drive has crashed. And that's got a lot of people who really want to point to a cover-up here or major malfeasance in Lerner's division and at the IRS that, aha, she knew they were onto her, and this is what caused all of this.
Well, our board is full. All 10 lines are lit with people on various sides of the IRS, scandal or not a scandal, question, and with questions for you, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Some of the callers are IT guys. So before we get to the bigger picture of was this a scandal originally and why was there inquiry into these Tea Party and maybe other groups, including progressive groups that wanted tax-exempt status as 501c4s while they were participating in campaigns. Before we get to that, you know, that underlying question, let's hear from some of these IT guys on what has become the latest manifestation of this, the controversy over these lost emails. Here is Derek in Manhattan. Hi, Derek.
Hi. You covered my primary issue about the dates that these emails were lost in 2011, attempted to be covered and lost and couldn't find by 2012, so Ryan shouldn't be upset. But I think they're looking in the wrong place. The emails were sent to other people. So they should be looking in the server at the traffic logs. That would tell them where the emails went to.
Oh, that is a really interesting point.
And the core dumps would actually tell them, probably give them an image of the emails themselves. My former business associate did the recovery for the I think it was the Enron case way back when they tried to erase their hard drives. And clearly, the servers is where the action is.
Well, can I stay on the line? Because I want to tell you what the answer to that very question has been from some of the participants here, and maybe you can shed some light on this. A couple of things. They have gone to some of the recipients of Lois Lerner's emails in the totality and have recovered some emails from other people whose computers did not crash. So they have done that and have recovered some. Obviously not all. The other issue, according to the IRS, is that the servers, as you say, these emails at the time were not stored in the cloud like Gmail, like most normal people have, where everything's archived. The IRS was apparently operating on a very, very archaic system where archives were backed up on tape. Physical tape. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the way they did it at the time. And they had a policy that only a certain amount of memory space was to be stored on those tapes, and so that every 6 months they were overwritten. So that when they went back for the archives, when they went back on the physical tape where IRS emails were stored, nothing there. It had already been overwritten.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't want to besmirch the IRS because they suffer from lack of funding to upgrade the IT department. That's well known in the industry. But those servers internal to IRS have to transmit over servers in the cloud, on the internet, in what they call the MAPS, the MAPs, which are major metropolitan areas. And those servers do core dumps and have traffic patterns too. Who's ever doing the investigation? It doesn't sound like they got real hot IT people doing the investigation, because it doesn't sound like they know how to trace this stuff. This stuff is not actually lost. It's just out there. You got to find it. I would point to, if I may use a name, Mr. Larry,
that's okay.
Larry.
Yeah. And call me Brian.
AAA Data Recovery outside of D.C. They again worked on that that Enron case. They're pretty good at tracing this stuff.
All right. Well, tell Mr. Ryan and Mr. Issa, and maybe they'll get AAA Data Recovery on the case. But Derek, you raise really interesting points. Thanks a lot. I want to put two callers together, who tend to come at this as it is a scandal or it isn't a scandal. So we have Tom in Little River, New Jersey, and Cassius in Brooklyn. Tom, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm actually in Little Silver, not Little River.
Little Silver, I apologize. And Cassius, you're in Little Brooklyn?
Yes, yeah, little star.
Cassius, go.
It's not just Lois Lerner. It's also six other people are using the same excuse, as far as I can tell from what I've read and listening to the radio about this. Like, it's seven people in total. It's just so asinine to me. Like, it's just they can't come up with a better obfuscation than, the hard drive crash. Like, it's just like the dog ate my homework excuse. It's so transparent and flimsy. Like, What are the chances that these seven people that are being investigated, all seven of them, the hard drive has crashed? It should outrage everyone wherever you are in the political spectrum. I don't see how it's partisan.
Tom?
Yeah, well, I think the whole thing is extremely partisan. I worked for the IRS, and back in 1997, as soon as the Republicans got control of both houses of Congress, or at least one house, they opened up the whole, investigation about the IRS, which led to the Reform Act in 1998. And when all those people that they dragged in front of Congress and were on TV for day after day, and there was national news, headlines in the newspapers, lead stories, and when all those things were ultimately investigated, there was nothing there. All this stuff is just because the Republicans know that the American people don't like the IRS, they don't like paying taxes, so whenever they can get their hands on any little minor issue, they just go ballistic. And then when it comes out in this particular scandal that the liberal groups were treated exactly the same, if not worse, than the conservative groups, then all of a sudden, oh, that's not the issue anymore. Now it's the email issue. And then when the email issue gets resolved, then they'll jump over to some other issue involving the IRS. It's just, bashing the IRS.
Cassius, you want to keep going?
Yeah, well, I mean, it began in some kind of partisan concern over how conservative groups are being treated, but it has jumped way above that to me. It's like it just comes down to competence. Like it's just like Paul Ryan was saying that the IRS has so much power over all of our lives, all over the nation, to totally turn our lives upside down by demanding, you know, proof going back so many years. And it's just, how could they possibly think that this is an excuse they could try to use? Like, it's just so flimsy. And to me, it just comes down to such a powerful organization, you know, being able to be competent. And who's heard of something so ridiculous as them using tape to, you know, to back up the email history, like just a few years ago? I mean, somebody should step in, and there should be a kind of investigation in what other organizations are using these archaic systems, and they get them updated. It's just outrageous.
Cassius, thank you very much. And Tom, thank you very much. And Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway, to get some clarity on what they were going back and forth about, sort of the bottom line and the origin of this. Did the IRS single out conservative groups under the 501c4 status and their applications? I've read that some progressive groups, and the caller from Little Silver was saying the progressive groups were scrutinized more even in some cases than the conservative groups. I don't know if that's true. If they seem to be fronts for campaign spending, and remember, folks, that was the bottom line issue that led that would, if there was legitimate scrutiny, that could lead to scrutiny. Are these groups fronts for campaign spending rather than charities? So did they really earn their tax-exempt status based on what they do, or were they just trying to get it to make it easier for them to participate in campaigns, particularly after the Citizens United ruling? So, Todd, what do we really know about that bottom line question?
Yeah, and you framed it exactly right. We can keep reaching back and back and back all the way to the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United, because despite all the lost emails, that's really where this starts. Those 501c4 organizations, to be tax exempt, they have to qualify as social welfare organizations. And then, of course, well, what does that mean? What's your interpretation of social welfare? How much of your activity has to be for social welfare? What does that really mean? You have a right to advocate for politics. That's your First Amendment right. But if you want tax exempt status, you got to qualify under the law and under the regulations. So that's where all this started. It is true that conservative groups with names like Conservative or Tea Party or Patriot or 912 were searched by this division of the IRS as these groups were applying for tax-exempt status, and the agency was reviewing them. The agency has acknowledged, and it has said it regrets this and that it was inappropriate because it led to the conclusion that there was political targeting. It's true that the agency sought out organizations for scrutiny that had those search words, you know, Patriot, Tea Party, 912, in the name. Now, the agency under Lois Lerner has said we did that because there was a deluge of these requests. We did have suspicions that a lot of these organizations were basically political organizations. Our responsibility as the tax man is to evaluate them for social welfare status so that they don't have to pay taxes. That's why we were doing it. Did they do it to some progressive groups? Yes, they did. There isn't any evidence that progressive groups got more scrutiny. In fact, they probably got a lot less. But it's also true that the onslaught of new groups at this point in our recent political history, Brian, was happening during the Tea Party wave, when a lot of Tea Party groups in a lot of states and a lot of districts were popping up and applying for tax-exempt status. So the agency has said, sort of like the VA scandal, that there wasn't any intent here. We were flooded with new requests. The VA says we were flooded with new patients because of the recent wars. And the IRS says new applications.
You said a very important thing, and I wonder if it's demonstrable, provable one way or the other, that the preponderance of fake 501c4s, or those trying to take advantage of Citizens United to become more campaign-oriented and perhaps illegally, that they were mostly conservative groups in that several-year period, and so the IRS just followed the facts and followed the applications.
That's one of the hypothetical defenses that, of course, a lot of Democrats have, and that the agency has sort of implied. Now, they haven't wanted to imply that the majority of Tea Party groups are disobeying the law or somehow not legitimate, and they have regretted and said it was a mistake and that it was inappropriate to search in the way that they did because it's launched all these questions. But the most important part of this, really, that people have wanted to know, it's one thing for some people within the IRS who are career workers there to say, oh my gosh, there's all the Tea Party groups and the Tea Party phenomenon, and we're going to search Tea Party, we're going to search conservative to give them extra tax scrutiny. Not necessarily because they hate the Tea Party, but because they're getting deluged and they suspect that some of these groups are not on the up and up in terms of their tax behavior, their taxable behavior. The more important part of this would be, and the implication has been, that this was politically ordered activity, either from somebody within the Obama campaign or Democratic campaign operatives, or the White House itself, or the White House's political operation. And it's important to point out, because that would be the important genesis of this, a coordinated political campaign where the powerful president or the powerful political arm of the president's operation gets into some deep, dark corner of the IRS and says, hey, do us a favor. We want you to slow these guys down. It's going to help us. Now, that wouldn't be surprising to a lot of people who follow the political history of this country and realize that powerful people use the agencies under their control sometimes for their political advantage. There is no evidence to date of any communications to that end between Obama's political operation or the White House. And also, I'll tell you that White House press secretaries Carney and now the new guy, Josh Earnest, have pointed out over the last couple of days that of all the congressional investigations and email troves and recovered emails that have gone on between Lois Lerner and everybody else, that there is not a single one that shows any communication over this issue, any direction from the White House, anybody who worked for the president, anybody in the political arm saying there's no there in terms of undue political influence on the IRS in this case. And a lot of Democrats do pull you aside on Capitol Hill, Brian. Sometimes it's kind of interesting. Yeah. When you're talking IRS, they kind of pull you aside. They say, look, first of all, there's no evidence of any of this, but think about it. If we really wanted to hurt Republicans, like think back to 2010, 2011, would we be trying to hurt the Tea Party to help Barack Obama? No. We'd be trying to help the Tea Party. They're the ones who are primarying our enemies. If we wanted to do anything, we'd be helping the Tea Party groups. That's their defense when they sort of pull you behind the pillar on Capitol Hill saying, it doesn't add up. We wouldn't try to hurt these guys. We try to help them. They're dividing their party.
Oh, yeah. They try to help the Tea Party. But, the rest of it raises serious questions about how much of a scandal there is there. But one thing we know, this conversation is at least going to continue in much of the political media through at least Election Day of this year. And we thank Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent, for The Takeaway, for bringing us some extra clarity. Thanks a lot.
Anytime, Brian.